This is Ray Martinez, and thanks for joining me today on another podcast. We're going to be talking about the suffering in a fallen world. Our reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 18, which says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Suffering is an unavoidable part of our lives in this fallen world. But earth is not our permanent home, as it says in 1 Peter 2:11 and Hebrews 11:13. As we wait for eternity, we can cling to the life-transforming hope communicated by the Apostle Paul, as he said in Romans 8:18. The result of sin are explained in Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19. Sin affected humanity's relationship with God, with each other, and with the animals. Even the ground was cursed. Look at Romans 8, verses 20 through 21. Sin would specifically result in the increased pain in childbearing, laborious toil and work, and contentiousness in human relationships, as we can see today especially. Ultimately, sin would result in physical death. In broader terms, sin opened the door for all kinds of suffering throughout all of creation. God knows the fullness of human suffering in ways that we do not, and yet He also knows the fullness of joy that redemption brings. God certainly allows suffering. Ultimately, He does so for His good purpose, as we read in Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, and chapter 8, verses 18 through 39. God is good, and everything He does is good, according to 1 John 1:5. And I think we've all experienced the goodness that God has given in our life. God can never be the author of evil, James 1, verses 13 through 17. Suffering is a direct result of sin running rampant. Humanity's sin opened the door to Satan's limited rule as God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. We suffer due to our own sins, the sins of other people, and the general fact of living in a fallen world. Often God allows the natural consequences of sin to play out. When we look at redemptive suffering, this is Paul's theme when you read in Romans 8, verses 18 through 27. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." Rather than focusing on your own pain, you can choose to redirect your focus to helping others in pain. Jesus wants to redeem your suffering. Redemptive suffering is when you use the pain you're going through to help other people. Isn't that fascinating when you think about it? So if we're suffering in pain, let's figure out how we can help someone else who's going through the same turmoil. We know Paul asked God to cure him of his suffering. In fact, he prayed 3 times to have God remove this thorn in his side. Now, we really don't know what that thorn was in his side. Some speculate it's blindness. Some people think it's an illness. Whatever it may be, Paul was suffering. And what did God say to him? "My grace is sufficient for you." 2 Corinthians 12:9, the New International Version said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Here's what we're supposed to understand. Because of humanity's fall, everything in creation has been subjected to God's curse. Romans 8:20, and look at Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19. Along with every other created thing, believers long with eager anticipation for their ultimate adoption and emancipation from the curse. Romans 8, verse 19. We can persevere through the hardship of this present time because our greatest earthly experiences pale in comparison to the incomparable glory that awaits us in God's everlasting kingdom. When the curse of sin is lifted in the new heavens and new earth, we will live as God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay, according to Romans 8:21. We can withstand the suffering of the present because the incredible splendor that awaits us in God's eternal kingdom far surpasses any joy or fulfillment we experience on earth. The Apostle Peter affirms, quote, "I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world." 1 Peter 5, verse 1. After we have suffered a little while, according to Peter, Peter promises that Christ himself will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast in his eternal glory. 1 Peter 5:10. For now, let's place our hope and trust in God, because we, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what it says in 1 Peter 1:5. Paul testifies that God gives us strength to endure all things, Philippians 4:13. And Peter encourages us through every difficulty to greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Again, the apostle urges, quote, "Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." 1 Peter 4:13. Now, 1 Peter 4:12 says it best. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. I recite that verse often because sometimes I just don't understand what I'm going through and why. But when I think about this verse, Christ has the answer. Paul describes the suffering of this present time as our light and momentary troubles. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last how long? Forever. He equates the experience to groaning as the pains of childbirth in Romans 8:22. A mother can undergo excruciating labor accompanied by the joyous anticipation of embracing her newborn baby. We groan even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. That's what it says in Romans 8:23 through 25. Paul describes the sufferings of this present time and then crystallizes their purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. The early apostles knew more than most of us ever will about the suffering of this present time. Both Peter and Paul died as martyrs for their faith in Jesus Christ. According to tradition, Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as Christ. Yet even if we suffer as violently as these two brave apostles, we can hold on to the hope of a glorious future where death is conquered and sorrow, grief, and pain will all be wiped away, according to Revelations 21, verse 4. When we apprehend this indisputable promise from God, we realize that the sufferings of this present time weigh no more than a feather compared to the hefty eternal weight of glory. Max Lucado said, "God never said that the journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile." Timothy Keller had a great quote I like, and it says, "God uses suffering as a chisel to shape us into the image of Christ." Boy, isn't that true? You have a blessed day.